Good morning, church. Am I on? All right, I definitely hear it. How are we doing this morning? So for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Jacob Brisman, and I help lead our campus ministry here in St. Louis. And before I get started, I wanted to publicly welcome the incoming freshmen who just graduated college, because they're about to start school here in the next week or two. And I also wanted to wish those who are leaving farewell. I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer for them before we dive into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for this amazing church family that we have, for the youth ministry that we have. And I just think of the students, and they've been coming around to some of the campus things this summer, and it's just been so encouraging to get to know them, to get to meet them, Lord. Just spend time with them, and I pray that you just bless them as they go off to college, whether they're staying here or going away. Lord, I pray that they can just have an incredible time, that they can deepen their relationships with you and just learn just so much about what it means to just trust you, Lord, to follow you. Times will come where life gets hard in college, Lord. You have midterms and final exams. And I pray that they're able to just rely on you, Lord, that they're able to find their comfort and their assurance and their confidence in who you are. Lord, I pray that you speak through me this morning as I preach the word, that your spirit just moves powerfully, that you take me out of the equation. But just thank you for who you are, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as I said, I help lead our campus ministry here, and it is great to be with you guys this morning. Last weekend, a bunch of our college students gathered in Anaheim, California for what we call ICMC, the International Campus Ministry Conference. We're about 1,800 college students from around the nation and internationally came together to just worship God, spend time in prayer, diving into the Word, and enjoying the fellowship as we prepare our hearts for the semester. And if you've ever been to a conference, they're great. They're amazing. But there's so much going on. And it is great to be home. It's great to be able to just rest, to sleep in my own bed. And it's really cool because this time when I say it's nice to be home, I actually mean it. Sammy and I bought a house about 2 weeks ago. And so we're home. You know, we're here, and we're excited for that. And with this new home, you know, comes this joy and this excitement of just, man, what is God going to do? How is God going to use this home to bless the church, to bless our campus ministry? You know, what are the new relationships that we're going to be able to form with our neighbors, but also with you guys, as we have a place to welcome you in, to feed you? But with all these feelings of excitement and joy, there's also a lot of anxieties and fear of the unknowns. You know, we're first-time home buyers. There's a lot that we don't know, and we're just trying to figure it out. You know, there's questions like, man, what if something happens and we have to use all of our savings to fix it? Or what if we don't have enough money to fix it? You know, what if as I was calculating out our budget, you know, I missed a lot of the little things that we didn't have to pay for before? I've already found a couple of those, but that's just life, right? That happens. You know, so as we're going through this process, you know, there were moments where we're thinking, is it worth it? Is this risk, this thing, I mean, God put this on our heart. We've been wanting to buy a home just so we can really love up on our college students even, to have a place to host them. But is God going to take care of us? Will he provide for us? Because honestly, it'd be a lot easier to stay where we were. It's secure. It's comfortable, right? We know what it's like. But it's funny because the place where we were at, it was pretty small, right? We had neighbors underneath us. We were in an apartment. So I literally felt like I was walking on eggshells. The first couple weeks we lived there, I got yelled at a couple times for stomping too loud. But I literally was walking on eggshells in this place. But there's these questions. Will God provide for us if we take this risk? if we trust in him. You know, our mortgage and our insurance, now we're paying $750 more than we were in rent. We weren't paying much before, but that's a lot of money. You know, that's money that we were saving. So there's fear. Will God provide? Will we have enough? But amongst all these fears, I also find myself remembering of all the ways that God has provided for me, of all the things that he has delivered me from in the past and protected me. Because when we remember who God is, it's easy to trust him. We can remember that he's already proven himself, especially when it comes to something like this house, right? Something that we're excited to see how God's going to use this. My mouth's a little dry this morning. But there is a battle raging within each of us, right? This battle between our faith and our fear. And it's the times of fear that we need to rely on our faith the most. You can go ahead and turn over to Psalm 23. And the title of my message this morning is Comfort in the Shadows. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I love how this passage talks about the Lord as our shepherd, right? This is a theme we see all across the Bible. But it's important to ask ourselves, what does this mean? Why is this sheep and shepherd relationship what David uses to describe us and God? The last time I preached, I actually also talked about sheep. Kind of funny, my degree is in animal sciences. I guess Vince wants me to put it to use. But we talked about Matthew 25 and the sheep and the goats. And I talked about how sheep, they follow the voice of the shepherd. And I did a lot more research on the sheep and the shepherd. And it's interesting because for the most part, sheep are totally reliant on their shepherd to guide them, to protect them, and to provide for them. You know, sheep, they don't really have a way to defend themselves. Their defense is just to stay with the flock. So when they get isolated, they're left vulnerable to the wolves and the predators. The sheep, they either have the shepherd to defend them, or they run. That's the alternative. But you see, their comfort, it comes from the shepherd. He is the one who protects them. And without him, there is no place of rest. And my first point this morning is that our comfort, it comes from the shepherd. You see, comfort, it's a state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint. It's the easing and alleviation of a person's feelings of grief and distress. It's physical, but it's also emotional. So what do you turn to for your comfort? feel? When you don't know the outcome, who do you turn to? You know, we live in a society that teaches us to just go after things, right? To rely on ourselves. Don't trust in others. But that's not what God has in store for us. You know, he wants us to dream. He wants us to have a vision. But he wants us to follow him, right? He wants us to follow the plans that he has for us. Because they're so much greater than any of the things we could ever imagine. But if we lost everything that we have, who are we? If you lost your job, your family, all your physical possessions, what is your identity? Because I think of sheep, and they have nothing. All they have is their shepherd. You know, they don't get to go to the sink to fill up their water bottle. They don't get to go to the pantry to grab a snack. They rely on the shepherd. Everything that they have comes from him. Their comfort is not in what they own, but whose they are. And that's who God is for us. He is our shepherd. Even the things that we think belong to us, the things that we think we earned or worked for, they're from him. He is the one who takes care of us. He is the one who provides for us. And because we have him, we lack nothing, as the psalmist expresses. But providing for the sheep, it's not the only role of the shepherd. You know, naturally, sheep are extremely timid and fearful animals. And they need constant reassurance. And that kind of sounds like some of us, doesn't it? But the shepherd, he provides for them, but he also protects them. You know, and it's really interesting because it isn't enough just for the shepherd to keep them safe. He actually has to make them feel safe. If sheep don't feel comforted, if they don't feel a sense of peace, they will not lie down. They will not graze and they will not rest. Because there's a difference between being physically safe and feeling safe, isn't there, church? But God is the one, he is the shepherd, who leads us to green pastures. And as the scripture says, he makes us lie down. Apart from him, there is no rest. Because we're constantly looking at all the things the world has going on around us. The sheep, they only feel secure when the shepherd is near, when they know that he's there to protect them, to fight for them. The shepherd does not leave his sheep behind. And oftentimes the shepherd will actually sleep with the sheep in the field because that's the only way they're going to rest. They need to know that he's there. And in John 10, you know, it talks about how the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Right, there's this sense of security, of comfort, when we know that our shepherd is with us. And it makes me think of a newborn baby. Right, when it's in mom's arms, it's secure. It's comforted. It's at peace. But what happens when she goes to put him down for a nap? The baby starts to cry. The baby cries. But why? It's in a comfortable crib. Right? It has a soft blanket, probably its favorite stuffed animal. You know, and mom and dad, they're just on the other side of the door, probably watching it on a baby monitor. But it cries because it feels not safe. But as the child grows, what happens? They learn that, wow, even when mom isn't in the room with me, she's there. That if I cry out, mom will come in and rescue me. It's the same thing with the shepherd. The sheep, they know their shepherd. They learn his voice, and they know even if I don't see him now, if something happens, he will come and rescue me. That is who God is for us. You can go to the next slide. You know, the shepherd, he carries two objects with him, the rod and the staff. Oftentimes we think of these as the same thing. Even in the picture before, you see the staff. But the rod is just as important. The rod is used to discipline the sheep, but also to keep them safe. It's a club-like weapon that the shepherd will use to fight off the predators. That's who God is. He's not just there, but he will fight for us. He will go to battle against the wolves, against the lions, because he is our shepherd. He is the good shepherd. But do you recognize this about him? Do you realize that he will go to battle for you? Is he your shepherd? Because if we don't recognize this, we're never going to find true rest. But as the passage says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God comforts us. The rod protects us, but he also has the staff. And the staff is used to lead us. It's used to guide us through the valleys. And that's because sheep, they have really bad vision. Their depth perception is terrible. If there's shadows or water or darkness, they cannot see what lies right in front of them. They can see all around them. Their sheep, their eyes are actually on the sides of their head. They can see 270 to about 320 degrees. So they can literally see everything else going on around them besides what's directly behind them. Humans can see about 190, to put that in perspective. But because of this, the sheep can get so distracted, right? They see everything going on around them. And that's just like us too, right? Well, I have my schoolwork, my job. These relationships aren't going the way I want. This thing's going wrong with my house. And we lose sight of what lies directly before us. We lose sight of the direction that the shepherd is trying to lead us. We can't see what's before us. But while sheep struggle to see what's in front of them, they're really good at listening. In fact, the sheep, they can tell which direction sound is coming from. So even if they don't see the shepherd, they can hear his voice and know, okay, I need to go this way. Even if I can't see what I'm walking through, this is the direction he's calling me. And church, I think we need to spend more time listening for the shepherd's voice and looking at all the things around us. Because the world is distracting. But the shepherd is the one who leads us. He is the one who is guiding us to green pastures, to still waters. And it makes me think of Matthew 6. You know, this is a passage that we know. Starting in verse 25, it says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See the flowers in the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Guys, God will lead us. He will provide for us. He wants to take us to the green pastures. But sometimes that means we have to walk through the valley of the shadows of death. And that's the place where you can't see where you're going. You can't see what lies before you. You don't know where the predators are that are waiting around every corner. It's the place where you will only go if you trust your shepherd. Because it requires you to leave behind the physical comfort of what you see. And trust in the one who is the great comforter. And when we see God for who he is, we can be unafraid. Our shepherd, he gives us courage to walk through the shadows. And that's my second point. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And if you look at the life of David, who wrote this psalm, he constantly had a reason to be fearful. He stood up against Goliath, a young boy versus a warrior. You know, he went to battle for his nation time and time again. He spent years of his life on the run from a king who was trying to kill him. And then later in life, he spent more time on the run from his son who was trying to overthrow him. He had every reason to fear. In fact, his safe place later in life was behind enemy lines, acting like a madman. Imagine that. But there's something about him. He never loses faith. There's this confidence in God that he will trust him, that he will provide for him, that he will protect him. And I believe that this is something that he learned while he was a shepherd, because he learned what the role of the shepherd is. And he learned, man, this is who God is for me. Listen to his words as he's about to go and fight Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." There is this confidence that he has that God will protect me. Even if I walk into the valley of what everyone else thinks is certain death, no one was willing to stand up against Goliath, except for David, because he trusted God. He had seen how God had rescued him in the past. But David isn't the only man in the Bible that has this attitude. I think of Paul in Acts 14. He is dragged out of the city and stoned to what the people think is death. But what's his response? He gets up and he marches right back into the city, right back to preach the word to the people that just tried to kill him. And he does this because he's willing to follow Christ to the place that most people wouldn't dare to go. He's willing to follow him into the valley, into the shadows of death. How far will you go? How far are you willing to follow your shepherd? You know, and Paul has this confidence because he doesn't fear death. You know, in Philippians 1, he talks about, man, to live is Christ. As long as I'm alive, I will follow him. And to die is gain. Because he knew that on the other side of this life was a greater pasture, greater waters. And so there's this comfort. But he says this because he knows his work is not done. There's still more to do. And so he goes, trusting that God will protect them, trusting that God will provide for him. And on the other side of this life, there's a pasture that's so much greater than anything else here. Right? It's not just good enough. It's perfect paradise. It's the place where we'll be able to lie down for the rest of eternity in the comfort of our shepherd's arms. But sometimes we have to go through the valley to get there. What is the valley that lies before you? Like the flock, this life will have moments of rest, and it will have moments of walking through the valley. But just like David, just like Paul, guys, we can be confident. We can have assurance knowing that God will protect us, that he will provide for us, that he will deliver us, just as he always has. And I think it's important to take time and recognize, what are the things that God has delivered us from? As I was sharing earlier, as we were looking at the house, that brought me a lot of comfort. Because I'm like, man, like, God has always protected me. He has always provided for me. And I know he's done the same for you. But do you recognize that? Because if you don't, you won't find your courage in him. You won't be willing to walk through those hard times following the shepherd's voice. But he will trust. He will provide for you. He will protect you. Because that's what the shepherd does. And as we wrap up, I want to look at the last two verses in this psalm, where it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." At first this may seem like a random shift, right? I thought we were talking about the shepherd. Why is it now God preparing a table? Why is this now this host identity? But it's because the character, the attributes are the same. God is a host. He has invited us into his home to sit at his feet. And not only has he welcomed us in, but he anoints our head with oil. Right, the symbol of God's care and his blessing. And just like the shepherd, the role of the host is to provide for his guests. But it's also to protect them. We see an extreme example of this in Genesis 19 with Lot. And where it says, "Two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed with his face to the ground. 'My lords,' he said, 'please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning.' 'No,' they answered, 'we will spend the night in the square.' But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them.' Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind them and said, 'No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do whatever you like with them. But do not do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof.'" And I read that, and I just thought, wow, that's God. That is exactly what he does for us. Right. He brings us into his home, even when we were strangers. He washes us, and he sacrificed his child for us. He sent his son to take our place. And just like God, Jesus is our good shepherd. And the shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But why does this matter? It's because it paints a picture of what God is welcoming us into his home. Like the shepherd, God will protect us. He will provide for us. And when we realize that he is the one inviting us to join him, we are able to walk through the darkest valley without fear. Because if God is for us, no one can stand against. And if we fear, it's because we've forgotten who the shepherd is. Or we've just left the flock entirely, trying to fend on our own. And if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you, spend some time thinking about what God has delivered you from. Because he has provided for you. If you're here today, he's done something for you. Amen. But do you recognize it? God is inviting us to join him at the table. He is calling you to let him take care of you, to let him provide for you, to let him protect you, to let him give you courage and confidence to walk through the valley. And if you don't know what that means, ask somebody to study the Bible with you. Figure it out, because it is the greatest thing you could ever have. And our theme for this year is light of the world. In our world, it's filled with darkness, fear, and anxiety. People all around us are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. But when we walk through life trusting in God, trusting in our shepherd, people around us will notice. And they'll want it. They'll desire what we have found. Jesus is the light of the world because he brings people in. He rescues them, and he leads them to a place of rest, to a peace that surpasses all understanding, even in the valley. But as his followers, we are called to do the same. Right? Church, who can you prepare a table for? Who can you show the love of Christ to and invite not just into your home, but to the eternal dwelling place of the Lord, to bring them into his presence? Because this world is begging for a glimpse of the light. It is crying out for a comfort that comes only from the shepherd and the courage that is found in him, even through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil, because we know that the shepherd is with us. Amen?